This morning, we're going to conclude our series, which we started a few weeks ago, on the last words of Jesus. If you remember what we've taken a look at, were the words that Jesus spoke while he was on the cross or when he was directly on the way to the cross. These are the last words that he spoke, really in public. Later on, he would be with his disciples, but these were the last words as he was actually on the cross itself. And so hopefully by looking at these words, we get a better understanding on the cross, as we're look at today, and also of Jesus himself and the things that were on his mind as he was actually on the cross. And these are the words recorded for us. If you remember, we go quickly back over and take a look at the words we have looked at. The first one came from Luke. It was on the way to the cross, the women came behind Jesus and were mourning those that were about to be crucified. And Jesus turns to these women and says, "Don't worry about me, worry about yourself. Are you ready?" And the idea of that we need to be ready, regardless of our circumstances, that we need to always be ready for our Lord to come again. Then we looked at when Jesus was actually on the cross and he was nailed to the cross and he looked at those who had just put him there. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we need to have that same kind of forgiving attitude, that we're able to forgive those who are what we might call unforgivable. These are not those that come to ask us for forgiveness, but these are for those that never even would ask us at all, would never even maybe want our forgiveness. Yet we are to forgive all men their sins against us. And sometimes it may be a little hard to forgive what we might call the unforgivable. And then we talked about the two thieves crucified on either side of Jesus. And how the one thief asked Jesus to remember him when he came in his kingdom. And Jesus offered him a place. He says, "I will remember you." And we have that same promise to us. That if we believe in the Lord, that same promise that we can be in the paradise of God. That we can eat of the tree of life. That we can have an eternal relationship with our Lord and our King. And then we looked at when Jesus turned to his mother when he was on the cross. And he said, he turned to the disciple whom he loved, which we think was John, and he said, "Here is your mother," and to John, to Mary, and to John, "Here is your mother, and here is your son." John would take care of Mary. And the idea, too, is to us, that regardless of what happens to us in our lives, that we remember our families, and we have that responsibility, and that the priority of our families needs to always be there for us. And then last week we looked at a passage in Matthew and in Mark. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And the idea that Jesus was forsaken by his own family, by his own nation, and finally by his God when he took the sins of the world upon him. And we took a look at that, and we will look at that even more today as we get to the final three that we're going to look at. But as an introduction today, I want you to think with me just a minute on why did Jesus have to die on the cross? And there's lots of different things that people have said, and one of them is the one that we read here is number one, that it was God's appeal to us because of our sinfulness, and it was a way that God had to bring us to repentance. And often when we look at what we call reason one here, people will concentrate on the great suffering that Christ did on the cross in order to touch our hearts, to turn us to him. But if you look at what the scriptures teach and what we even read today from Romans, where Paul talks about Christ was the atoning sacrifice for our sins so that God's justice would not go unneeded, that God was a just God for the sins that had been in the past and the sins that in the future, that the cross is a lot more than just God's method to get us to repentance. The cross represents the very forgiveness of our sins and the atonement for God's wrath so that we have a way of coming back in a relationship with him. And that's what we looked at last week and we'll continue to look at this week. And the idea that we have that eternal relationship and that was brought to us because Christ was willing to die for us on the cross and to take our sins and to pay the price to redeem us from this world. Now look at the next one. If you look over in your Bible, John, look in John chapter 19. Now, this is at the very end of Christ's time on the cross. If you look at 19, beginning of verse 28. "Later, knowing that all now was completed and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put a sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And if read over in Luke and others, it appears at one time they offered him this almost as a mocking. And they mocked him when he was on the cross. But now it says at the very end, Jesus realized that all had been fulfilled. Now sometimes we don't think about, I want you to, with me, just a few minutes, think of the idea that all had been fulfilled. If you look back to John chapter 12, where a few days earlier, the last time Jesus had really been in public, listen to what Jesus says. This is in John chapter 12, beginning in verse 23. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now notice here again, as we looked at a few weeks ago, when we take about hour and day, he's not saying this 60 minutes, but he says at this time, at this hour, my time has now come. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it becomes many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And truly the name of the Lord would be glorified when Christ went to the cross. And we see that all Scripture was fulfilled. And when Christ goes to the cross, we've seen before many of the Scriptures, and we'll take a look at those this morning. And the fulfillment of everything when Christ went to the cross. But notice how John words this. He says, when Jesus realized that it was over, that everything had been accomplished according to Scripture, then he asked for a drink of water. As we mentioned earlier, they had almost mocked him and offered him something to drink, but Jesus had turned him down. Now it appears that Jesus knew the end was near. If you go through the words that we've looked at before, Jesus had been concerned about everyone else, about his own mother, about those that were following after him, about those who had even nailed him to the cross. This is the first time Jesus now sort of thinks about himself. He's just about finished his mission here on this earth. And he knows that all Scripture has been fulfilled. So now he asks for a drink. Now think, too, about what he says. He says, "I thirst." Think about who he asked this to. The only ones that could have fulfilled this would have been the Roman soldiers that were there at the cross. They were the ones that had put him there, now were waiting for him to die. And were protecting him or making sure everything in the crucifixion went as it should have gone. So it was these men, the ones who had mocked him. These were the ones that had put a crown of thorns upon him earlier and had mocked him during the night and had flogged him. These were the men now he asked for something to drink, that he was thirsty. Now you start to see the humility of Christ, that he would ask even these. And notice that they give him the drink. So often I think we're not willing to ask because we don't think people will listen to us. How many times in your life have you had an opportunity to maybe share the gospel with someone, but said, "No, I know they're just going to mock me, or they don't want, you know, they're not going to listen." I know I've done that, and I've shied away at times when maybe I should have used that opportunity. And notice here that Jesus uses this. He says, "I thirst," and the Roman soldiers, those who you think would mock him even now, they give him something to drink. And we see the humility of Christ in even asking for this. Look over to Psalms 22. This is a psalm we looked at last week. And in Psalms 22, we see many of the fulfillment. There are so many scriptures we could turn to that I'm not going to try to do it all today. But if you look over to Psalms 22, look at verse 1. And this is what we read last week when Jesus says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Look down at verse 6. "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by the men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads." And truly, as you remember back when we read in Luke and Matthew and Mark, it goes directly parallel to these words. Look at verse 8. You brought me out of... He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Now look down to verse 14. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. It is melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of the dirt of death. Dogs have surrounded me, and band of evil men encircle me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments and cast lots for my clothing. Now this psalm was written by David 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And it's amazing when you read through the scriptures and the fulfillment that came about when Christ was on the cross. We see the fulfillment of all the scriptures in Jesus' life and even his death upon the cross. Now look on down in John and notice the last words that he has that Jesus spoke. It says, it is finished. That could also be translated, it has been accomplished. And when Jesus died and he breathed his last, he says, it is finished. I've accomplished what God has given to me to do. Throughout the book of John, that was one of the themes that Jesus says, I come not on my own, but I came because my Father has sent me, and I do the things that the Father has given to me to do. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus says, I came not to serve, but to serve. In Luke 19:10, he says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And in Romans 5 that we looked at last week, he said he came, Paul said, to reconcile the world to him, to bring us back into a relationship with Christ, that Christ paid the price for that. John chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, no one has seen God, but we've seen God through the one that he sent, through the Son, has shown us the Father. In Hebrews 12, he talks about that he's the author of our salvation, that Christ went before us, going through all the things that we have to go through to show us what salvation is, to show us how to live, to be our deliverer, but to be more than that, to be the captain of our faith, to show us the way to live as he would have us to live. And then look over to Titus chapter 2. This is a verse we looked at in our Wednesday night class, and we used it a few weeks back as a basis of our sermons. But listen what Paul says about the sacrifice that Christ made for us. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 through 14, he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live up self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, while we wait his blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now listen to verse 14. Who gave himself to redeem us from our wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. He came to redeem us from this evil world so that we could live in his kingdom of light. And that's why he died upon the cross and why he could say now at the very end of this that it is finished. He had accomplished what God had given him to do. Now look over to Luke chapter 23. And we have the last words that Luke has recorded. It's very similar to what John records, but slightly different. In Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 44, it was now the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole of the land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he said this, he breathed his last. Now, throughout the time that Jesus was on the cross, he had been mocked, he had been tortured, he had been flogged, and yet he never lost his faith in his God. My God, why have you forsaken? But it was always my God. And here, at the very end, he commits his spirit into the hands of God. This is, again, a quotation from the Psalms 31 and verse 5. It was thought that many of the Jews probably ended their prayers with a saying very similar to this. And Christ, as he died, as he breathed his last upon this earth, this is how he gave his spirit to his father. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Look over to 2 Timothy, one of the passages that we have, one of our songs that we often sing, and one of the strong passages that I've always loved. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And Paul echoes in his own life, and this was close to the end of Paul's life, what Christ has said. He says, I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Now, each one of us could think about, can we say that? Can we know whom we have believed? And are we ready to entrust our very soul into the hands of God when we are ready to give up our ghost, when we're laying on death's bed? This morning, I'd like for you to think with three things with me this morning. The first, Jesus said, I thirst. Now, I want you to think about that just a minute. I think so often we go through lives and we're not really able to ask other people sometimes for the help that is needed for us. And we need to always have a humility within ourselves that we're willing to ask. Jesus asked, and he asked the Roman soldiers that had just nailed him to the cross, that had mocked him all through the night, that had put the crown of thorns on his head. This is who he asked for a drink of water. And they responded. Too often we don't ask, and when we don't ask, we have no response. But if we do ask, people will respond to us. And I think sometimes we don't think enough about the very example that Christ gave us, almost his last example he gives to us, when he asks for a simple drink. And we need to think about that, and to think about the people will respond if we ask. And the next one is, it's accomplished, it's finished. And this one is a little harder maybe for us to think about. But if you can think about your own life, if you're at the end of your life, can you say, I've accomplished what God had wanted me to do with my life? Will you be able to say that? Will you be able to lay on your deathbed and look up to your Father and say, I did what you gave to me to do. I've accomplished the work that was mine to do on this earth, that I have been a profitable servant to my Father in heaven. This week, a man died named Bruce Weisenstein. Now, I'm sure all of y'all know about Bruce. You may not. He was one of these New York bankers, one of the ones that do a lot of the wheeling dealing in New York City. And when I read a little bit about him, I'd heard about him. I didn't know a lot about him. He had made, over the course of his life, $2.5 billion. Now, that's more money than you can even think about. That's enough money that if you just put that in the bank, just gaining interest, you know how much interest you'd have every single day? Over $250,000 a day in interest. Now, this man was still working when he died. He died, he was 62 this week. He went in over the weekend with a heart murmur, or a regular heartbeat. And the doctor gave him something, sent him home, and the next day he died. He was 62, still running the company that he had made all this great money for. Now, I don't know much about him. I know he was married 4 times, divorced 3, and was on his 4th wife. I know that he had amassed a great amount of money, and most of his life seemed to be tied up in making more money. I don't know, when he died and he breathed his last, could he say that he had accomplished anything in his life? Look over to Luke with me, just back to chapter 12 of Luke. And listen to what Jesus has to say about when we think about the purposes of this world versus the purposes that God has for us. And in Luke chapter 12, we have a very short little parable that Jesus spoke. Chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crop. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I can store my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Look back to verse 15, and Jesus says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Too often we go through our life and we store up different treasures that we think about on this earth. The things that we want for ourselves or the things that we think are important. And I wonder if we're laying on our deathbed at the very end of our lives and the Lord comes to us and we have to say, what have I accomplished? Who will get these things that I've spent so much of my life for? Or those things that I thought were so important, how important are they now? Can we say with Christ Himself that it is accomplished? That my life had purpose? If you live for this world, at the end of your life, there won't be much purpose there. There won't be much reason for you to even have been. But if you have an eternal relationship with your Lord, then you can say, I have made a difference. My life meant something. It had purpose. I've accomplished what the Lord gave to me to do. Your life can have purpose. And that's what Christ died on the cross, so that you could have purpose in your life. Your life can be significant. It can matter. And it won't just pass away. Regardless of how much money or whatever you have amassed in this life, if you're not in the Lord, then it's not going to matter very much. And that goes into the last one that Jesus spoke. He says, into your hands I commit my spirit. We sang right before we started today, it is well with my soul. That song was written by a man that had just lost his family. If you go back, I think in the end of our songbook, it actually talks a little bit about this song. But what had happened is this man, his family had been on a ship going either to America or away from America, his wife and his four daughters. And they had had a tragic accident, and the four daughters had all been killed. And only his wife survived. And he wrote this song when he was going over there to be with her, saying, it is well with my soul. Even though he had lost what was the most precious thing on this world to him, his four daughters. Now think about ourselves. Could you say when you're ready to give up your life, it's well with my soul? The Lord has been with me and now I can put my life into His hands and my soul. And as Paul said, that which we hold most precious, I can know that He will defend that, my very soul, until that day, till that judgment day. This morning, think about the last words of Christ. He said, I thirst. He reached out to those, even those that were maybe unreachable, the Roman soldiers themselves. And then he brings out, it's finished. I've accomplished. I've accomplished what God gave me to do. And last he says, I put my soul in the hands of my Father. Into your hands I entrust my soul. This morning, think about yourself. You don't know how long you're going to live. Bruce Weisenstein last week had $2.5 billion and he was 62 years old and had the whole world at his feet. He died this week. You don't know how long you're going to live. None of us do. But we know that there's going to come a time when we're going to have to give an account for our lives. And we're going to say, what did I accomplish? Did my life have purpose? And if you live it in Christ, your life can have purpose. It can have an eternal purpose, both for you and for those around you. So this morning, think about your life. Are you ready to answer to your Lord and say it is accomplished? If you're in Christ, if you've been baptized into His death, then you're going to rise to walk eternally with Him. If you've walked with Him but you haven't been faithful, what better time than right now to come back to Him and to be with your Lord? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?
When I survey the